Sharp's Honour by Bernard Cornwell. Read by Rupert Farley.
Prologue. There was a secret that would win the war with France. Not a secret weapon, nor some surprise strategy that would send the enemies of France reeling in defeat, but a sleight of politics that would drive the British from Spain without a musket being fired. It was a secret that must be kept and must be paid for. To which end, on a pitiless winter's day in 1813, two men climbed into the northern hills of Spain. Whenever the road forked, they took the lesser path. They climbed by frost-hardened tracks, going ever higher into a place of rocks, eagles, wind and cruelty, until at last, at a place where the far sea could be seen glittering beneath a February sun, they came to a hidden valley that smelt of blood. There were sentries at the valley's head, men wrapped in rags and pelts, men with muzzle-blackened muskets. They stopped the travellers, challenged them, then, incongruously, knelt to one of the horsemen, who, with a gloved hand, made a blessing over their heads. The two men rode on. The smaller of the two travellers, the keeper of this secret of secrets, had a thin, sallow face that was pockmarked by old scars of smallpox. He wore spectacles that chafed the skin behind his ears. He stopped his horse above a rock amphitheatre that had been made when this valley was mined for iron. He looked with his cold eyes at the scene below him. "I thought you didn't fight the bulls in winter." It was a crude bullfight, nothing like the splendour of the entertainment provided in the barricaded plazas of the big cities to the south. Perhaps 100 men cheered from the sides of the rock pit, while beneath them two men tormented a black, angry bull that was slick with the blood drawn from its weakened neck muscles. The animal was weak anyway, ill-fed through the winter, and its charges were pitiful, easily evaded, and its end swift. It was not killed with the traditional sword, nor with the small knife plunged between its vertebrae, but by a poleaxe. A huge man, clothed in leather beneath a cloak of wolf's fur, performed the act. He swung the great axe, its blade glittering in the weak sun, and the animal tried to swerve from the blow, failed, and it bellowed one last useless challenge at the sky as the axe took its life and cut down through bone and pipes and sinews and muscles, and the men about the rock pit cheered. The small man, whose face showed distaste for what he saw, gestured at the axe man.
"That's him?"
"That's him, Major."
The big priest watched the small, bespectacled man as if enjoying his reaction.
"That's El Matarife."
The nickname meant the Slaughter Man. El Matarife was a frightening sight. He was big, he was strong, but it was his face that caused fear. He was bearded so thickly that his face seemed half man and half beast. The beard grew to his cheekbones, so that his eyes, small and cunning, appeared in a slit between beard and hair. It was a bestial face that now looked up over the dead bull to see the two horsemen above him. El Matarife bowed mockingly to them. The priest raised a hand in reply. The men about the rock pit, partisans who followed the slaughter man, were calling for a prisoner. The carcass of the bull was being dragged up the rocks, going to join the three other dead animals that had left their blood on the white frosted stone. The small man frowned.
"A prisoner?" "You can hardly expect El Matarife not to have a welcome for you, Major. After all, it's not every day that a Frenchman comes here."
The priest was enjoying the small Frenchman's discomfiture.
"And it might be wise to watch, Major. To refuse would be seen as an insult to his hospitality."
"God damn it,"
Sample complete. Ready to continue?